Hey, welcome back to Mint Condition Comic Catastrophes. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm Ben.
And I'm Ben. Nice one.
Well, good morning, guys. We, unfortunately, are missing John and...
What's his face, isn't it?
Ivan, yes.
Ivan, right. Forgot. Sorry about that, Ivan. Yeah, due to some circumstances, yeah, they can't be here. Yeah. Kind of sucks, though. Kind of miss John.
Yeah.
I mean, I really miss John. We miss you, John.
Hey, I hope your car feels better.
Yeah, dude. I know all about car problems. That shit is not cool.
Not cool at all.
Not cool at all.
I don't know about car problems. I live in England. We don't have cars over here.
What?
No way.
That's bullshit, man.
Seriously. Okay, when you picture England, what do you picture? Do you picture cars? You don't, do you? You picture bad teeth.
I do kind of picture cars, those little Fiats cars? Or whatever those.
The wind up ones. The ones with the wind up thing on the front.
No. I mean those little small cars, like those, like you see them on those movies, like the cop cars are all small.
Yeah.
Like little Hondas.
Yeah, there you go.
I picture those cars.
Do you picture like the really fast motion home videos? It's like, this is a car. This is the future of aviation or something.
Oh, man. That's too funny.
Well, maybe...
The car of tomorrow.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, Eric.
The car of tomorrow today.
Exactly.
Oh, man. No, well, I mean, you know, I thought you guys had cars. I mean, I guess you guys are like New York because all there is cabs and...
Yeah.
What do you got? Double-decker buses, right?
Right.
No, but cabs are cars, Eric. Did you know that?
Yes, I know that, but I'm saying like in New York, all you have is mostly.
I don't think you're understanding the concept of no cars, Eric.
You motherfucker. It's too early for me, all right? Jesus Christ, I just came from seeing Superman. Which I might add is it was a great movie. I put it up there in my top five. Not really my top three, but top five.
Let's say I enjoyed the actor.
Okay, I know you enjoyed the actor. Did you enjoy the movie?
I love the movie. I loved it on so many levels.
This isn't even a spoiler because obviously most guys won't even notice this. But when there was a scene where Superman has no shirt because, you know, got burnt off. And dude's ripped. I'm not going to lie. Dude is fucking ripped. Like,
totally.
You thought Thor was ripped and Thor? This dude is like ripped. And it was funny because I looked to my side and my sister's like, I could see her like not gasp, but inhale. And I'm looking around me like, oh God, all these girls are, you probably heard of the swooning happen at the same time. It was like a chain reaction.
Such a funny sound.
Another. It's the trying to breathe in, but.
But you can't, and you're kind of sighing at the same time. Yeah, that's it.
I was laughing, but it was a good movie. Yeah, Ben, you got to definitely see it. Take the kids, dude. They'll love it. I mean, Mike, although don't take them late night because I took mine. And it was, we saw the 11:15 showing. Mind you, this movie is like 2.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed like the good part at the end, toward the end.
Yeah, because...
He fell asleep.
Yeah.
He usually stays up, but I think he had gone to school and he was really just waiting for him to put on the uniform, you know, the suit. And because the movie is in such a way that he doesn't don the suit until, like, later in the movie. So he kind of, I guess, just fell asleep.
Yeah, he was suckered out. I'm like, I'll take you again during the day so you could
I want to watch it again, too.
I was kind of tired. I'm not going to lie.
I loved it. I had a Red Bull and I had coffee and I was there. I was all in.
I noticed. I smelled the coffee in the air.
Yeah, I was all in it. Yeah, all up on that.
But you guys gotta definitely catch it, man. And all you listeners, if you guys haven't seen it yet, which I'm sure by now you guys have, but it's a great movie. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, the effects were good. I really like the storyline. A lot of people, you know, have high expectations or some expectations, but I think if you go with an open mind, I think you're really great. It's a really great movie experience. And as a comic book fan, I think you're going to really enjoy seeing Superman up there on the big screen all over again. And hail DC.
Hail DC.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So this time we chose to do a group review on this comic book called Saga. It was written by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated by Fiona Staples. and it's published through Image Comics. This comic book was first published in March 2012, and we're reviewing the first book.
Yeah, it's really new.
Yeah, it is new. It's I actually pre-ordered the second one on Amazon, and it doesn't come out until July, but... And I'd like to thank Ivan for recommending this as a group review because I loved it. I fell completely in love with it at the end of reading the first book.
Was it Ivan who recommended it or was it Ben? I don't remember.
Ben told Ivan to read, you know, she should read it. So then Ivan got it. And when he read it, he's like, we should do a group review.
Right.
I think it's a combination of Ben, Ivan scenario.
Right. So without them too, we wouldn't have got this book.
Right. I'm so hooked on this book.
That's a good book. Ben explained the best way he could in the message board. I was right. Like, oh, shit, it's true.
Ben, you want to take that?
An Interstellar Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Ben, you have you read Shakespeare? Have you read the Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Okay, how long did they get married after they met? Was it a week?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was something like a week.
So they met after a week of meeting each other, they decided to get married.
They married and died.
Well, you have to gauge it like nowadays, you know, people expect to be like meet somebody and then get married later. I mean, they say that that's the best way to do it, you know, which I agree. But at the same time, I disagree because I think the more you live with somebody, the more
flaws you find.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I guess in the beginning, it's like you get married and now you have to live with those flaws.
Yeah.
By law of marriage. But right. You get to grow as a couple instead of like just, you know.
Well, what I wanted to tie in this because obviously, you know, like Romeo and Juliet, I think within a week, all their life together happened. And what I'm saying is that with Saga, these two characters, Alana and Marco, which are the main characters, they met and fell in love in 12 days, I think it was.
Right. And they had a baby.
And they had a baby. So the story starts with she is giving birth to the child. Marco is a prisoner. They've been at war. Alana and Marco have their people have been at war with each other for many, many, many years. I mean, hundreds of years. The war has gone on so bad that in their home world where the war started, there is no longer a war. The war has stretched out into the galaxy. And so Marco was captured and Alana was the guard. And somehow they fell in love. We don't see the love part of that love story that takes place and how they met and how they fell in love, but you see them when she's giving birth and she gives birth to this half-breed, which they mention in the story that they half-breeds don't live past like 6 days or something. But apparently some of the narration in this book is by the baby, the little girl named Hazel, and so you get the idea that she's survived.
Right. I love the artwork. It's really good. I mean, it's on par. Like it's pretty simplistic, but it's really good. I love the story. It kind of threw me off in the beginning, seeing that those side notes of someone else speaking and narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done in a way where you kind of have to see it. It's like it's not like one of those talking bubbles.
Right.
Right. Like. And
right, when there's like an outside person narrating.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like inside the art.
Yeah,
and so you read it and you're wondering who's talking. And that's when you realize who it is. It's apparently the child, grown up, of course. But I think that's cool how they put that in there, where it's also a story and a narration. I like that.
Well, one of the things that I really liked was because, you know, you see some scenes and some events happening as you read on the story and what's going on with the characters. And then the little, not the bubble, but the little subtext of the narration kind of gives you an insight of things to come.
Right. I mean, because it's kind of somewhat her telling the story.
Right. We're seeing it, but she's not just narrating the story all the way through. Right,
exactly. She's just explaining the thoughts or what she thought now, what she thinks now, what happened back then. But it's a good book. I like it. It's definitely recommended to actually both women and men. I mean, I'm a huge fantasy, like all that fantasy type of storylines, you know, like Lord of the Rings, whatever, etc., different kinds. I'm really into that. So this kind of touched on that. Kind of reminds me like of a Final Fantasy book.
Yeah.
See, because I play a lot of Final Fantasy games. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like that, except, you know, the love story and everything. But, I mean, all that is all intriguing because there's war, there's a love story, and you just want to see where it pans out. And I'm actually psyched to know that you bought the second book.
Yeah. It was really good.
So it's like, hey, I want to try to read it all, you know, get it all in. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, so the story starts, doesn't it, right in the beginning of the shit's hit the fan almost. You know, she's giving birth to a half breed, and they're being chased by an army, and then the army find them, and it's just so good. Like it drops you straight in at the beginning. Yeah, and the baby's narrating it. The thing that, you know, it's got everything that you need in a comic. It's got like violence. It's got, you know, funny. It's got like a funny strain going through it, like with the narration. The first thing she says is, "I think I'm taking a shit" or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's the first page.
It's got magic. It's got everything in it, and you know, just this is the kind of thing when I'm reading a comic. If it's something like this, and it hasn't got an exciting kind of element to it, I won't continue to read it. But this is the kind of comic I think I wish that's something I wish I could write. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the way that's gone, because I'm always thinking like a writer for some reason. I don't know why. That's why with comics, I don't really give a shit about the art. I mean, I can appreciate a good artist like, you know, Jim Lee and Greg Capullo and all those people, but I always look for the writer. Like, I will buy comics based on the writing. Just on that basis. So when you get halfway through this book and you've got twists coming, and you know there's to be a little bit spoilerish, I don't really care if it's spoilerish or not, but there's this thing going around where there's a forest, a haunted forest, mm-hmm. and no one knows what are they called, demons or something like that. You know, the ghosts, the spirits.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. What are they called? Well, they're ghosts, they're spirits, but I think they call them spooks? No.
Yeah, it is something like that, yeah.
Horrors, yes.
Yeah, and you think you never see them, but you just hear like horrors, and then you just think, what the fuck are these horrors? And, you know, they're being, you know, chased by a couple of bounty hunters at this point as well, and they're both fucking awesome because one of them's got his own story going on.
Yeah.
And when you actually come across the horrors, they're not what you think they are. Like, they're the exact opposite, and it's so cool. I love it. Absolutely loved it.
I know what you mean. I mean, when they were talking about the horrors, I mean, even the girl was like, Alana, she's like, they don't even exist, you know, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I saw that, you know, I heard this guy who saw them, who did they did this and they did that, and they killed people and they pulled somebody's spine through their urethra, and it was just crazy. But you're right, it's the exact opposite, and I really found that refreshing. And it was just the story is nothing like I've ever read before. It kind of takes these twists where, you know, it really takes you to a surprising chain of events. I got the sensation that, to me, I can describe it as like a Star Wars sort of.
Yeah, I mean, even Romeo and Juliet had all that too in the, mm-hmm. in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, you had and
with
the story.
The Montagues and the Capulets,
yeah. You know, the fighting and the rivalries and. Mm-hmm. And here it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, I mean, Ben was on point with that, where it's like the interstellar Romeo and Juliet. I mean, best way to explain it. Exactly. So, I mean, even if you're not into love stories, it's still a good read, because it's not just the love story. It's just a mixture of all these other things and the supernatural in this world that doesn't exist. You know, and the whole time it's like you're thinking Earth, but it's not.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool. Which I kind of like how they stray away from that. Because, yeah, like, I mean, Ben, have you ever played Final Fantasy games, like the old ones or the new ones?
No, I've never played it. It's never been really my type of game. But I know it's the kind of thing. I know it's the kind of thing I'll get addicted to if I start playing it.
Yeah, they're called RPGs, role-playing games. And I'm not a big fan of RPGs. And when I first got into Final Fantasy, I got into it a bit late. A lot of people are still into the old retro one, like Final Fantasy 3 and Final Fantasy 2. But I went into number 7. The cool thing about all these Final Fantasy games is that they all don't coincide with each other at all. Like, the stories aren't like, okay, let's see what happens in part 2 after part one. No, it's a completely, they're all completely different stories. So, I mean, these stories that you're taking, I mean, you're actually playing the role of this, of a character, a specific character. And you're going along with the story, you make decisions, you answer questions. And, dude, this is just how it is. It's all fantasy. It's all good story, good storytelling. And it grasps you. So, I mean, even for RPG fans or Final Fantasy fans, this book is just, it's good. It's that good.
You know, and I really like, I was looking at, of course, the artist is Fiona Staples, but the way she draws women, natural. Like Ben was saying, there's everything in this book, including, I mean, it's an adult comic book. There's some sex scenes and there's nudity and, you know, there's a slave girl who's, you know, a sex slave. She's six. I mean, it's got everything. And I don't play video games, but I would watch Eric play his Final Fantasy games. And, you know, I got swept up in the story. So I could understand how he relates to that with this comic book. So if you're like a video game playing kind of person, you really enjoy the story.
Right. That's cool. So I definitely recommend it. It's Image Comic, and it's the trade paperback is out now. Mm-hmm. And you said Volume 2 is coming out in July.
In July, yes.
So it's not bad. It's actually fairly affordable. It's $9.99 too.
Yes, it's $9.99 on Amazon. And the second book is $11 something. I actually clicked purchase before I read that it's going to be available until July.
Buy now.
I'm like, buy now. No. And yeah, it's not available until July. But I mean, there were moments when I was reading the comic book. I was reading it at night, and I just kind of like, I mean, I would have like verbal reaction to the story. I mean, I think you guys would really like it.
I think if you get that involved with the comic, like, mm-hmm. we're like, what?
Yeah, that's,
you're,
yeah.
You're like, shit. And yeah, that's like, actually really good, yeah. Because that's, for a story to grab you like that, it's actually magical in a sense. Because right. It's like, now you're actually involved in the book. And it's harder for a book to get you like that.
Yeah,
to get you riled even movies, like, you know, people are like, oh, I saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or stuff like that. But when it grabs you like that, that's great.
Yeah. Actually,
I'm finding more and more comics like that, though. I mean, like, since doing the podcast with you guys, the Underwater Worlder that John suggested, that made me cry. And I know that sounds really gay and a bit lame, but the thing is, man, like, you've got to read that comic. Have you guys read it yet?
No, Sarah has it.
I have it. And now that I've gotten my reading time down, I looked at it this morning. I was like, I'm going to read this next, yeah, because I'm waiting for the other one. So I'm going to read this.
Yeah, I gotta find more time to sit down and read. It's just hard for me because, you know, lately I've been with work, and it's just been a chore. And it's like, I gotta read. Cause I got a lot of comics I'm trying to catch up on, and and then I'm trying to read some trades, and it's like, it's hard, but when I do, it's like, I get involved. Like, once I read it, it's like, I gotta keep going.
Right.
Because if I stop for even the least amount of time, I lose it. Like, I just stopped. But like going back to Final Fantasy, when I played the game, there was parts of the game where there was a scene that made me kind of like cry. And it was young. I was young at the time. So let's see. The game came out back in 1995. So that's years ago. I think it was like 14. Mm-hmm. Dude, that game grabs you. I mean, I've never played a game to this point. I mean, I'm a gamer, and I've been gaming since I was 8. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, up to this point, I've never found a game that where it gets me emotionally, like, you feel like shit. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some games you just want to finish it and like, oh, I beat it. That's it. Right. No, this game, I was like, I literally dedicated, like, it tells you the hours you played, right? Like, during the whole time. That's where I put in over 100 hours.
Shit. Holy shit.
But that's in a span of, like, months. Because, I mean, I try to... You get enveloped. Like, you could go straight through the story and beat the game in less than 15 hours. But I tried to do everything. Get every bit of story I could, because it was that enticing. And you wanted more. Even when the game ended, I wanted more. It's a huge fan base, dude. Check it out, man. Read up... even for the listeners, read up on Final Fantasy VII. It's actually available for the PlayStation Network, and you could also buy it. You can actually get an old PlayStation and play the game. It's really good. Or you could play for the PC for all you PC gamers. that game is it was too big for its time. I kind of wish they'd do a remake of it now with the graphics we have now, but I think it's untouchable. It's timeless.
But even the graphics then were incredible.
If you ever meet a gamer, a real good gamer, like tell them about Final Fantasy VII, and they'll trust me. They'll sit down with you for hours and talk to you about that game.
Well, I mean, even at the Comic Con, they're still dressing up. Characters.
They're still dressing up to this day at conventions
with those characters. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So those I mean that cosplay. for that to be like that, we're like, whoa, you're still dressing up as that.
I know
it's timeless.
Well, you guys definitely pick up this book. I really highly recommend it. Like I said, I'm hooked. I actually went online and was like, curse you, Ivan. Now, you know, I was like, and then I told Ben I was afraid of this. And he's like, afraid of what? And I'm like, I'm totally in the comics again. Like I have designated time out of my really busy work schedule to read comic books. Because that's how I've been grabbed all over again. Like, I've just been grabbed by the shoulders and just shaken. Just...
That's what comics do to you, man. You know, it's like shit. And for me, it's like I don't have time to go to the comic shop. You know, and I don't own a vehicle either. I mean, so it's like for me to go to a comic shop and buy the latest comic, it's like fuck, I can't even buy the newest comic right now. I have to wait a bit until I find some time.
Well, if you guys are the listeners out there, like if you want to be involved in comics and then just find it a little bit difficult to go to the shop every month or, you know, buy individual comics, I strongly suggest trade paperbacks. They'll give you like a really solid stream of time of reading and you'll get the full story. And it just...
That's true. There's a downside to that though, because it's like, this is where me and Ivan were in a bind about when, we read the first Batman Court of Owls book. There was the hardcover. And we read it, and it ended on a note where, like, we want to know more. And it's like, the next trade won't come out for another 5 months. So I was like, fuck. But the comic's already out. So I'm like, I told him, dude, you got to make a decision now. Are you going to follow the books, the comics? Like, buy them every month? And so you catch up? Or would you wait 5 months and buy the hardcover? It's like, oh, no, I got to buy them now. So we did that. And to this day, we're still doing it. Like, buying the comics, because we can't wait for the hardcovers because they take like forever. DC is relentless for bringing out hardcovers like on time. Like you won't get volume 3 for another till the end of the year.
So. I'm glad this comic book is Image Comics because I'm waiting.
Yeah, Image is pretty good about it. Yeah. I give Image that, but they're good. But there goes our group review. Now
on to our individual review. I'm going to start.
Go for it.
Okay, well, I read the story a long time ago back in 1992, 93, something like that. I should have checked on the publishing date. But I remember I was in high school and I read this comic book and actually it's a book. It's a story written by Neil Gaiman and it's called Death, the High Cost of Living. And I read this right after I read Saga, so I got really, really, I just fell all in love all over again with, you know, the writer, the art's done by Chris Pacello, which I've also met. He's a really nice guy. I really like the way he draws the noses. But this comic book, I mean, it's the basic storyline is every 100 years, Death, one of the seven endless, gets to live for 24 hours so she can know what it is she's taking when she basically comes to greet you when you die. So every 100 years she gets to live for 24 hours. And in this story, it's really cool. I mean, the writing is just so clever. I mean, there's this lady her name's Mad Hady, and she's I think she's from England. From England, Ben?
I'm sold already.
She's so funny. She's lived like for 200 years. She's sort of like a witch. She keeps saying you don't live to be like 200 and something without learning a thing or two. But she's like a homeless person and she's lost her heart. So she's waiting for death to come around again to help her find it. All these types of hijinks ensue. So what happens is, like, the story opens up with this guy named Sexton. Sexton is like, he's going to kill himself. He says there's no point to it. He's obviously like 16 or something. He says, you know, it just sucks. There's no point to it. I'm not even in love. And I think love doesn't exist. And, you know, my mom, she's okay. But I mean, you know, whatever. and he actually meets Death. She goes on to like hang out with him throughout a total of 24 hours. And like hijinks ensue. And she's just so happy to be alive. Because it's so refreshing. It's such a different change from her being Death. My favorite comic book writer is Neil Gaiman. That's no secret. But his way of writing is just really clever. I think you really enjoy this. It gives a different perspective on certain things. The artwork is really nice. Death has always looked like a kind of like a hip goth, which is really interesting. I think you guys would enjoy this, definitely. There's one part in the comic book where she's describing eating an apple. She says, I said, don't apples taste great? I mean, the way they taste and the texture and the way when you chew them, the kind of crunch and the juice runs out of your mouth. Isn't it amazing? Like, you know, she's so happy to eat a hot dog. And I mean, you can't help but really just fall in love with her as a character. And Sexton, you just want to like punch in the face. So but the universe kind of fixes itself during the story in order to justify that death is part of the living world. So like there's a story where she has a family and so forth, and there are people that know her, but in reality she's Death. She's not really this person that has existed on the planet. It's really interesting. During the story, there's several things that happen. I mean, you see these characters come about. There's this blind guy who's after her secret power or whatever, and so he kidnaps them. I mean, it's just pretty interesting. And throughout that, you kind of there's a kind of a different language going on. There's these old words that mean something of these kind of mythical characters, and it makes you want to kind of go out and either Google it or get a dictionary, and then that opens up a can of other things that you might be interested in. But yeah, it's a really great book. In the end, of course, she dies, and then she meets herself. And she says, so how was it? And she's like, it was great. I wish it never ended. But you kind of get the sense that no matter how shitty your life is, it's really valuable. Life is valuable. Even death sees that.
Well, because you only live it once.
Right. And
it's kind of hard to see into that aspect. I get that. And mm-hmm. it's hard because, you know, when you have a loved one and you lose somebody, and that's when death and life come more in perspective for you. Where a lot of people take life for granted and say, well, you know, they think they're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. Well, in a sense. Everybody knows you're going to die. But it's when it comes close to home where you realize, like, life is precious. Mm-hmm. And I think that book's actually really good for that. Giving you, like, I think Neil Gaiman had it good on the hit it on the nose, where it's like life is a lot bigger than what you think. I mean, it's big, but at the same time, it's just an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they keep referencing that. Why do they see me as a bad guy? Like, I'm not a bad guy. This is just one step in a bigger picture.
Right.
I'm just doing my job. But every time I meet them, they hate me. Or the only time they're okay with me is if they've been suffering. Like, I'm just some great solution to.
Well, death is like that. It's like the double-edged sword, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to wield, and it's also a great weapon. But it's true. I mean, you know, people in pain, what do they ask for? They ask for death.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm so much in pain and want to die, or or I can't live with myself, you know, I want to die. Or other people who want to live and see death are like, shit, really? This is it? I'm going to die?
Yeah, there was a, in the first appearance of death, she's walking around with her brother and she's taking all these people.
You didn't mention who her brother was, right?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I didn't. Hey. So death is one of the seven endless, and her brother, she's the oldest. Death is the oldest, and her brother is Dream or Morpheus or Sandman. And Neil Gaiman had a long story, like, I don't know, 10 trade paperbacks on Sandman. And so she's walking around with her brother, and she takes this child into her hands, and he's, the little kid goes, "That's it?" And she's all, "Yeah, that's what you get. That's what everybody gets, a lifetime, you know, because it's immeasurable." So
right.
But yeah, I highly recommend this. This is, it will make you think. It's kind of hip, you know.
Kind of for the times, because it came out in the 90s, right?
Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, and I mean, Death still looks like she can be walking around right now and she'd still be cool, like the coolest kid on the block. But, I mean, it makes you really think. Like, you kind of almost feel badly for hating Death. Yeah, you know, you kind of can't help but love her.
You can't hate anybody for doing their job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, hey, it's my job. You can't really hate me for doing it, because somebody has to do it. You know what I mean? Like, not getting too much into religion, real quick. This is the way I see it. Ben, I don't hurt me.
That's okay. Say what you have to say. Let's hear your peace.
My peace. No, it's just like, you know, people like the devil this and the devil that. I'm like, look, the way I see it, somebody had to do it. Somebody has to take the bat.
And
to me, this is how I see it. You know, they say how the Lord smite him, or he, you know, banished him because he was a fallen angel or whatever. I think they came to a common agreement. Like, look, I love you so much that I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be the bad guy.
Right, right.
You know, kind of like Wreck-It Ralph. You know, you are a bad guy. This does not mean you're a bad guy.
To Wreck-It Ralph.
No, yeah, I'm just saying. No.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so to me, it's like the devil's just like, hey, I'll take one for the team. You know, we'll act like we're fighting, but in reality, it's just I'm the warden of the damned.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're taking everyone to salvation. This goes beyond, like, same thing with Greek mythology. You're talking about Hades and Zeus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
you got the Elysian fields, and then you got Hades, right? I mean, what do they call it when you go to Hades?
Hades, yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just you do your job.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, it's like you can't hate anyone. You just have to understand that life is your instant. This is you're living your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see it as, you can't take it for granted. It's more like the moral of the story, I'm assuming.
Right, right. Because this kid is going to commit suicide.
Exactly. And you know how kids are like, oh, I can't live on my life. It's like, really, dude?
Come on.
There's just. I understand that life is hard, but it just can't be that hard.
Right.
Like, there's people that have suffered a lot worse. You know how your parents used to say, if you didn't finish the food, like, there's starving children out there. You know, I'm like, well, then give them my food. You know? Exactly. But for me, it's like, come on, you know, life is hard. I get it. You know, everyone's lived through some shit and believe that that's the worst. But you have to see the grander scheme of things and say, you know, because it's like, oh, you really want to die? Then, you know, wait for it. And then you're going to see that, oh, shit, I could have lived another more, you know, another 20 years and see where I'm at.
And that was one of the things that Death had said. She said, you know, even when they do it themselves, they're still unhappy that I'm here.
Exactly. Because it's like, you're never content. You're never mm-hmm. happy.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. And it's like people that don't want to die. And I think that's also another moral, or the story, you know, the whole idea is, it's like even good people die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, death has no prejudice, you know, whether you be young, whether you be old, whether you're popular, whether you're not, you know, no prejudice, whether you're black or you're white or you're Asian, doesn't matter. And life is just an instant. We're a speck of dust in this big old thing we call life.
Exactly. And it's funny that you touched on the whole Lucifer Morningstar thing, because that's another character that Neil Gaiman kind of used in the story.
Yeah, exactly, right. I remember you talking about it too.
Yeah, he's like, you know, come on, God's infallible. Don't you think he knew I was going to do what I was going to do?
That was also my point. I'm sorry, I was going to say that again. But, I mean, if God was all omnipotent and knew everything, he should have saw that coming.
Yeah, he did.
He did, but that's what I mean. He's like, that's what I mean. It's like the guy's like, hey, look, we're going to come to an agreement. I love you. And see, this is the thing. Someone that loves you that much would do something for you. Like, I would suffer for my child. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would burn to death. And that's excruciatingly painful, I'm assuming.
I heard you pass out from the...
But still, it's painful. Can you imagine? No, I mean, so I'm like, I would do that if I was given a choice for my son to live or have a better life. You know what I mean? It's that love, that unconditional love you would do for your child or for the person that you love. So I'm assuming that that's how Lucifer did it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take one for the team. Again, quoting it again. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, and Neil Gaiman got it right, man. You know, Neil Gaiman has that same idea.
He does.
I love Neil Gaiman. I mean, I've never been a Neil Gaiman fan. I never read any of his stuff.
You read his stuff. You read the 1906 or 1607
1801.
We're throwing out numbers now. I think it was 1906. I can't remember. Or is it 1604?
1604.
Right. It was a Marvel base, which I'm trying to look for because I used to have it. I want to review that one.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to review that one.
Gotta review that one. Ben, it's a Marvel book. It's really good, man.
Let me tell you this. I remember the day he finished reading it. He said he was reading this book, right? And this was years ago. And he came up to me. He's all like, oh my God, Neil Gaiman is so good. I just finished. Did you know that Neil Gaiman wrote this? You gotta read it. And I hadn't, and now it's missing from the collection.
It's missing from the collection.
But I've been meaning to buy it because I remember the excitement he came to me with.
It was really good. Really good read. Yeah, so Neil Gaiman is good. He's a great writer.
He is.
And, you know, he's still doing things. He's doing, he did some shows, and I think he did a couple movies.
He just came out with a new book, but it's not a comic book. He wrote a novel.
He's doing just novels at this point. But yeah,
I mean, it takes a story to like so it takes this idea and it kind of bends it a little bit. But he's just so clever. I mean, it's just so
I like his wit.
It's very witty. Yeah, very witty. So I really highly recommend this. It's three issues, but you can get it in trade paperback. Again, it's Neil Gaiman's Death, The High Cost of Living. Pick it up.
Great. That's a good one. All right. I'm going to be reviewing. Ben, we talked about this because you were talking about, hey, have you read Superman for all Seasons? And I'm actually going to be reviewing. And because of Superman Man of Steel, I'm going to do it for take one for the team for the Superman.
Sweet. I've actually got it sitting in front of me now. I haven't read it, but review it. Go.
Oh,
there you go.
No.
Well, I'm not going to give too much away.
No spoilers.
Okay. But it's a real good book. Superman for All Seasons. It's written by Jeff Loeb. And, of course, the dynamic duo team, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Woo. They're also known for Batman Long Halloween and Batman Dark Victory. And I'm assuming they did another few other ones. They did some Marvel ones, too. And I like Tim Sale's artwork. It's consistent. It's the same as he does them all, you know. And I think Jeff Loeb loves that about Tim Sale. So for them both doing it together again, it's just that good. And Superman for All Seasons, it's not an origin story. It's more like you get a little more insight of Clark Kent, and you know, and him coming up to be Superman, like. It's kind of an origin story, but more his side of it, you know, and I like it because you know it touches a lot of him being in Smallville, not growing up, but being an adolescent, and then eventually becoming Superman because he's trying to deal with the idea of becoming it, you know, becoming him because it's so much bigger than him, having the abilities and everything. Not to give so much away, it's a real good story. It's if you've read Long Halloween, Dark Victory, you'd really love this book. And it's I was a little hesitant to get it when I first, because I like most of us, we look at the art and we're like, that's what entices you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't like the art. I didn't like Tim Sale's art at all in the beginning when I was younger, but now it's more like I'm more into the story. Story mm-hmm. is what grabs me, and Superman for All Seasons is a great read. I'm surprised they haven't made an animation out of this, actually. And it's really good. I like it. It's Ben, you should definitely read it, dude. If you own it, you obviously own it, but definitely read it, dude. It's really good.
Yeah, one of my friends today, he just quit. One of my friends was like, I don't like the artwork in that. It's not my style. And I was like, you've got to look at his Batman stuff, because Tim Sale's Batman is fucking sweet.
Hell yeah,
it's so good, man. And like, even in Dark Victory, like, I just finished reading that. It's as good as Long Halloween, and the artwork is just incredible.
Exactly, it's on par, dude. They're fucking badass together.
Yeah, I think it's the cover of Superman for All Seasons that gives it, like, it looks like a childish cover. The one I've got is Superman kind of as a mirage. You know what I mean?
Right. But, right, it's like over a back black, like you see the farm in the shadow.
Yeah.
See, that's what because you picture like Superman in like the more modern comics where he's all ripped, like, you know, six pack is bulging, and, you know. And this one, he's more like he looks more hefty set, but it's just him being bulky, like buff. So I mean, that's why a lot of people probably look at this and be like, I don't want to pick it up because I don't like this childish artwork. But trust me, Tim Sale does not disappoint, and with Jeff Lowe behind them on story, they're unstoppable. I'm surprised they haven't done anything lately. Jeff Loeb's still writing. I don't know if Tim Sale is still doing artwork, but they did a lot. I think they did Daredevil together. That was also a good read, really good read. I think it was called Yellow. I own it. I should actually review that one next time. Do a Marvel one, because I'm kind of tired of doing DC for a bit. You know, I need to touch Marvel a little bit more.
No, I've been meaning to look into a different, different, because I also did DC. Oh, by the way,
it's actually more Vertigo.
Well, no, I've been doing independent ones, like the Image. So it's a DC Vertigo, the Death. Sorry, I forgot to tell you guys that.
Vertigo, and of course Superman DC. But you can still pick it up. It's actually still available at most stores because it's still a good read. So it's really out in the top five of everybody's list. So definitely pick it up. It's a good read. Benny should definitely read it now, like right now.
I'm gonna read it now. So I'll see you in about an hour.
Nice. All right, so Ben,
I'm reviewing The Gigantic Beard That Was Evil.
Evil.
By Stephen Collins. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story, right? I've got a friend at work called Michael, and he's a massive comic book fan. So when we finished work together, we went to the bookshop, and one of the guys that works in there, he's made a display of graphic novels, and this Gigantic Beard That Was Evil is standing upright, surrounded by nothing else apart from more issues of The Gigantic Beard That Was Evil. And when I went up to it and looked at it, the guy actually stopped and went, are you going to buy that? I was like, I don't know. And he goes, you should buy it. You should buy it now. I was like, why? And he goes, it came in yesterday. It didn't have anything on the box. I opened it, saw it immediately, and I said, that's mine. And I read it, and it's the best comic I've ever read.
What?
And I was like, wow. Okay, I'll buy it then. So I bought it, and it is actually amazing. Actually amazing.
The giant beard.
It's a massive giant hardback thing, but it's I'll give you an example. I sat down with my kids yesterday and read it to them because it's written like a poem. So it's about this guy called Dave who lives in a place called Here, and it explains at the beginning that he lives on in a place called Here that's surrounded by the sea. And then on the other side of the sea, there's a place called There, right? And as I said, it's all written in rhyme. So there's minimal dialogue, okay? But the thing is, the artwork is incredible. It's really basic, but it's all pencil work. So it's all shading and lines and very fine detail and stuff like that. Not overly detailed, but it's very soft looking, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this guy called Dave, he's bald, but he's only got one hair on his face. And all he does is go to work. He doesn't really know what he does for a living. And there's a point where he actually asks people at work, and there's a line of people saying, I don't know, we do this, we do this, we do this, and they're all different. And then when he goes home, he just sits in his house facing out into the street, and he just draws people that walk past his house. and they're all side profile pictures, right? Mm-hmm. So then he goes to work one day, and he just suddenly starts growing a beard. And not just a little bit of a beard, like, it sprouts immediately, and it's massive. And by the time he's, like, halfway home, he's having to hold it up, almost like it's an its own body growing out of his chin. It's massive. So he cuts it off. It grows back exactly the same. He cuts it off. It grows back exactly the same. So he calls an ambulance. Now, actually, what happens first, he goes to work, and they fire him because he's got a beard. And then he goes into a restaurant to get some food, and they say, you can't come in here. You're too untidy. And then he goes home, and he looks at his drawings that he's been doing, and he sees that everybody is cleanly shaven. He's the only person in here that's got a beard. So then this doctor comes to his house and tells him basically what's happening is your beard is evil because it's opening a portal from here, which is here, to there, which is the bad place, right? And it's so fucking cool, right? Because what happens is he starts getting spectators coming to his house. So as before, he was drawing side profile pictures. Now he's drawing front people facing him because they're standing outside his house staring at him because he's got this uncontrollably massive beard growing, right? And it breaks out from his house. And they have to close off the road. They have to divert people when they're going to work. It's all kinds of crazy, yeah? And then what they do is they start talking about, we've got to kill him. Because we can't cut this beard. Like, they get tanks to try and, you know, cut it. They've got tanks with pliers on the front, and the beard, like, crushes the tanks. And then the doctor's like, okay, we need to get every hairdresser in here to go and sort of, like, groom his beard. So this beard is growing so big now that it's kind of, like, as big as the place that he lives here. So they've got scaffolding up. And every hairdresser in here is, like, grooming this beard into weird shapes. But it's on top of scaffolding. And the artwork is incredible. That's the picture I put up on the page yesterday. And then, because every hairdresser is grooming this beard, nobody's grooming the people that live in here. So everyone starts to, like, cut their own hair, and they start to look unkempt and a little bit more homeless. And what actually happens is that Dave and his gigantic evil beard make people start to worry less about their life, and it's kind of like a metaphor for just let yourself go, and people start moving their beds out into the park and sleeping under trees and stuff. And there's clips where you see people looking up at a tree and going, I never noticed that tree was there, because they were so focused on keeping themselves clean and tidy because that's what society expected of them. And then what happens at the end is the beard gets so uncontrollably big that they have to put helium balloons on it, like hot air balloons, and they tether the balloons to the ground. So the beard is suspended in midair with balloons above it and then suspended to the ground below it. And the doctor goes to see Dave, and he says, Dave, the beard's growing so quickly that eventually it's just gonna grow up. You know, you're not going to be able to control it anymore, because at this point, they, you know, it's just what happens is they put so many balloons on the beard that it pulls the tethers out of the ground, and it takes off, and it pulls Dave into the sky with it. So he flies off of here, and they're watching him kind of go out over the sea. Mm-hmm. And then he disappears into the horizon kind of thing. Very sad. And then they open a museum, okay? And it's got, like, loads of artifacts, like a beard comb, and it's called the Beard Museum, right? And the doctor, this is the cool thing, the doctor, he writes a book called what's that Bangles song? Eternal Flame. that's all Dave listens to. That's the song that Dave loves listening to. He listens to it over and over again. So he wrote a book called Eternal Flame, and it's about Dave and his magnificently giant beard. And then what happens is it's the doctor narrating the last part of the book, and it says, like, I'm compiling another book. I'm not writing it myself. I'm compiling a book myself. And you just, as he's narrating it, you see him walking down to the beach, and there's all these pages just floating in the sea. And then the person with him says, oh, there's another one. And they look up, and it's, like, floating down, and they catch it in a net. And Dave is still in the sky drawing, throwing pictures down to Earth.
Aww.
And at the end of the book, you actually see all the pictures in sequence as he's collected them, like it's his book that he's written. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh,
absolutely,
man.
Amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good read. You got Sarah.
It's good for kids. You got Sarah in tears.
Oh, really? That sounds really nice. I don't know. I really. It sort of reminds me of Where the Sidewalk Ends. Do you remember?
Oh yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. It can go right on the shelf next to stuff like that. So
really?
Yeah. As I said, I bought it yesterday. No, day before yesterday I bought it. And I come home and I've got an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. The 8-year-old was too busy running around being Batman or whatever he was doing. Like, he's fucking mental. But then my daughter, Lena, actually sat down and I read it to her. And she was... And it's not just the simple things like having... you know, when it tells you this is Dr. So-and-so and he works for this, it's actually got a picture of his door with his title and what he does as a job, and that's part of the narration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what fits into the poem. If you don't read those bits, the poem doesn't work. Oh. It's just all linked together beautifully. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, that sounds really great. And something you can share with your kids so that you can get them, like, into comic books.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I gotta
pick that up then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find books that kids would sit down and actually listen to.
Right.
That isn't a children's book. You know what I mean?
It's you just think, how, again, another one where you just think, how the fuck does someone sit down and write that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who comes up with that? Like a big giant beard, you know? Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like, it's... as I said, it's kind of like speaking about the way society is. Like, okay, you're basically so worked up on your job, you're so worked up on, you know, you're so wound up in yourself. Just stop and look around for a minute and tell me what you see.
Exactly.
Well, one of the
that's what that book is about.
One of the things I was thinking about while you were reviewing it, and I pictured the picture put on the Facebook page. With the big beard, and then the letters were in the beard. And I was I was listening to you talk about how they didn't want him in establishments because his beard was so unruly. And I think I was thinking the way that society sometimes judges you by the way you look right away before they give you even a chance.
Kind of reminds me of Pretty Woman.
Yeah. No, that's right though, Eric. That's
no, it's true.
There's a
no,
guy called Scrupulous Pitt, right? He's a poet in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a massive beard, and he's got a song. I'll actually link it. It's actually fascinating. But he's got a song called "Thou Shall Always Something or Other." But every sentence starts with "Thou shall not," and one of them is "Thou shall not think that every person that talks to a child is a pedophile. Some people are just nice."
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
No, it's true. You can't really sit down and like talk with the kid because then it's like, oh, he's a pedophile. Like, no, it's kids need to talk. I mean, like, it's like. You don't. I notice this as a parent. Like, you see a lot of parents that don't really communicate with their kids at all on a level where, where that's where we go wrong. And it's like the moment someone talks to him, it's like, don't talk to my kid or get away from him. Like,
I get that a lot.
Yeah, but it's
because I always talk to kids.
No, but
I feel like they look at me like, what the hell? Like,
you know, well, for me, I'm not very social because I ride the bus to work, and a lot of people come up to me and. You know, like they sit down and they want to talk, like older people, right? And I give them the time, you know, like, okay, I'll talk to you. And it's funny how kids look behind you and they look at you and they kind of, and you smile back at them and the parent looks at you like, what the fuck are you doing?
Don't look at my child.
Yeah, I'm like, your kid's smiling at me. I'm just trying to acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm,
like, hey, I'm looking at you. How are you doing? Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because the parent will probably be like looking around, not even paying attention to the kid. You know, not even saying like, "Hey, look, we're doing this." You know, and for me, it's like kids need that acknowledgement.
Right.
So I mean, for people to talk to kids, it's like, yeah, I mean, you just can't do things without people judging you.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just like, or you talk to a girl like, "Oh, you're flirting with them." Like, no, she's just talking. Like she just came up to me, talked conversation real quick. Yeah, it's done. Same thing with girls. Like, you talk to girls, like, they assume you're trying to hit on them. Like, look, just checking the conversation. You know, you don't want to talk? Don't talk. It's just society in it as itself just wants you to be this one person, or they perceive you to be this one person.
It's a mess, man. That's why you get people acting differently around different people.
Well, see, that's the trick. That's the fucked up part. Because I told people at work, like, is this hard? Because I think I slipped. I got a big ghetto, right? Because I don't get ghetto.
I've done that.
I don't get ghetto at work. I try not to.
Me neither.
And that's how I really talk. Like, if you really get to know me, and like when we start talking, like on a level, like where I'm comfortable with you, I'll start kind of getting street on you. And it's funny because we were talking sports with one of the attorneys, and I'm like, nah, please. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like. I was like, look, you have to understand.
Shit.
I'm like, and I said, yeah. The thing was, and one of our coworkers is there. He's black, but he's also street, and he also doesn't talk like
street,
that.
Street, yeah.
But mm-hmm. when we both get together and it comes out like that, it's like he knows.
It's cool.
Right. But the other ones are like, hey, whoa.
Did you say that? Oh my God, did you just say that?
Yeah, I'm like,
And they all look to the black guy.
How is he reacting? Mio was like, well, I'm sorry if I gave his name up. But he was just like, and I'm like, looking at him like, yeah. We kept going on with the conversation. Yeah. And they felt like, wow, he didn't stop you? I'm like, trust me, we're on that level where we know. We're cool like that. But yeah, and then from that point on, I stopped talking. I would have to really choose my words wisely around people. And it's just that. People are like, is this how you are outside of work? I'm like, trust me, all of you guys are different outside of work.
Right.
There's a difference between being a certain way here at work and being a certain way away from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why most people don't ever hang out with each other after work.
Right.
You know, because you...
Right, you don't want to let loose the dragons.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, it's somebody you work with. You don't shit where you eat, obviously, or whatever. That
or
whole
dip
thing.
Your pen in the company ink or whatever.
Right. So for me, it's like, you know, I got to really keep that under wraps. Especially when I talk sports with people at work. I'm like, yeah, that was a good three-point shooter, yes.
Oh, that was magnificent.
That was magnificent.
That was extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm fucking super polite at work. I'm super polite. I try not to say bad words.
Let me put it to you this way, man. I worked at my job for almost 11 years, and I can remember the exact moment I went ghetto and never did it again.
I'm telling you. See, it's like, what?
I remember the look on their faces when I went a little ghetto.
What did you say?
Well, my friend who was working with us at the time, well, she wasn't my friend then. She was my coworker. She's now my friend. She said, oh, Diana's Mexican tortillas are so good. And Diana's for us Mexicans is like too commercial.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, hell no.
And then, oh, hell no.
And then, you know.
You can tell like, Sarah's hand movement.
Hell no.
Sarah's hand movement and her
and
nodding.
And nodding on the head. And my friend looked at my boss and they both turned and looked at me. And I just knew.
They're like, whoa.
Whoa.
I didn't know you were like that.
I didn't know you could talk like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, well, you know I live in Compton, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like I said, where it's like, oh, hell no, dog. It's like, oh, fuck that nigga. And I'm like, whoops. I really meant like, fuck that. I mean, you know, not because he's black and, you know, the guy I was playing was black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just that's how I talk.
That's how we talk.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, you do more of that slang but I mean, you know, we have that slang.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I try to keep that to a minimum.
But again,
the whole perception of fucking society, dude. And it's like, come on, just take it for how it is. See, that's why for the U.S., it's we're so censored, man.
We are.
And it's like back then you got away with shit like in cartoons back in the day.
Yeah.
Now where they can't even say that.
Mm-hmm. You can't even blow up somebody with dynamite anymore.
Exactly. Like Tom and Jerry, you know, see, remember when you bought the Tom and Jerry thing, the set?
Yeah.
And they told you in the beginning that it's very racial.
It is. It is really.
Ben, have you ever seen Tom and Jerry cartoons, the old ones?
Yeah, the old ones with the black woman.
Exactly, blackface or whatever.
See,
yeah, exactly.
The thing is, when I saw it on Channel 13 or Channel 7 or whatever, they didn't have that. They cut that out. So when I bought the DVD, the Blu-ray version,
well, they had it in the beginning. It was later on when the reruns started happening where they took it out. But when it first aired, it aired naturally.
No, I know it aired naturally. But when we got to see it, it was already censored.
Exactly.
And then when I bought the Blu-ray, I was like, what? I never saw this scene in this cartoon because you memorized it.
Even Looney Tunes and all that. You know, you had all that and it was common. I mean, you know, for the time. But even so, I mean, today you don't take it serious.
No.
It's just a cartoon. And it didn't change you.
It's sort of like Django, remember?
I think it just bettered you as a person. Like, I don't see it as being prejudiced. You know? Now it's like you got to be worried about what the fuck you say or what you wear or how you look.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, I grew my hair out, and it's like, oh, you look like a dirty hippie. I'm like, you know, smell my hair. Like, smell it.
Smell it,
and it smells great.
Smells like wonderful.
Exactly.
You just want to wrap yourself in it.
It's like, you just think it's dirty because I was just alone.
Right.
And you know, even at work, they're like, you know, you should cut it. I'm like, well, there's no rule to it. You know, it's kept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's conditioned.
It's conditioned. Well, I got a tattoo on my wrist. I have two other tattoos that I got years ago, but I got them in places you can't see. And so this time I just did it. What I've always wanted to do was get one in plain view. But still, like when I go to work, I have these designated bracelets I wear on that wrist so that nobody looks at me. But I could see the look on their face when they catch a glimpse of it.
Well, at least it doesn't say Compton or something in old English letters.
It's not a swash sticker, is it?
I know, right? Exactly.
It's a hummingbird.
You know, if you do a swastika backwards, it's not a swastika.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they go clockwise. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wasn't it in that movie?
Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. Yeah.
Where it was actually
some kind of
Egyptian.
Yeah, Egyptian deity or something.
ISIS, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, see, perception. And it was that movie also talked about
symbols
and you know
what they
stand for and what people see them now. So you know,
I really like when he showed the boob when they were feeding the child or whatever, and they're like, oh, a mother giving, you know, like nurturing.
Yeah.
Then he pans out and it's like a demon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
It's like, whose tit is this?
I know, what? Like, the milk is sour.
Well, it's like now, like, people, like, they can't breastfeed in public.
Oh, God, yeah. They have designated cloths you can wear around your neck.
Which so, I think...
I kind of enjoy seeing boobies in public.
Hey, I'm so going to breastfeed in public. I don't care.
But they're going to probably deem you...
Unfit mother
or something for doing that.
I've managed to convince a bunch of people at work that I've killed someone.
So they don't bother you or what?
This is actually a really funny story, man. Like, they, you know, when someone comes up to you, because I've got like nearly a sleeved, my left arm's like nearly sleeved, and they keep on going like, what does that tattoo mean? And I tell them, and they're like, what does that tattoo mean? Right, the top on my shoulder, I've got a skull with a knuckle duster underneath it. And when they get to that one, I'm saying, yeah, that's to remember the first person I ever killed. And they're like, what? And then I was like, yeah, man, when I was 8 years old and I was in France, was on holiday in France, and I was at a swimming pool, and loads of French kids were coming down there. And every time I jumped in the pool, the French kids would jump in the pool after me and, like, kick me in the water. And it was just pissing me off. And I'm a really strong swimmer. Like, my family know me as Merman. So when I jumped in the water, I managed to swim to the side, and that French kid jumped in, and I kicked him and kept him under the water until he drowned. But from the outside, it looked like a struggle. So my dad pulled me out, and then the lifeguards pulled him out, and they just couldn't resuscitate him. And they're like, really? And I was like, yeah, man, when I was 8 years old. You didn't feel guilty? No, he was French. I don't give a fuck. And then there's three or four people at my work that genuinely think that when I was 8 years old, I drowned someone in a pool in France.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, dude. That sounded a pretty believable story.
It does sound believable.
See, yeah, man, that's the power of fucking of words, man. The power of fucking just storytelling. If you can tell a story and make people believe it's true.
It's all fun until the police rock up at my door.
Exactly.
We're now under arrest for
they'll call him like,
murder.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he murdered a kid when he was 8 years old. And then all you hear is...
Yeah.
Police, open the door.
What do you call them?
The bobbies?
The bobbies.
We call them the popos.
The popo?
No, wait, we call them the popos.
We call them first.
We call it first.
We call them pigs. You can get arrested for if a police officer goes past and you make a pig noise, they can arrest you for it.
No way, really?
Well, here they'll probably beat you with
it. I smell bacon. And they're like, right, come with me, Sonny Jim.
Sonny Jim. Over here, they just beat you to death in L.A.
Everyone turns to Rodney King, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Hell yeah. It's happened before, man. I've seen beatings, and it's fucking stupid.
Well, my husband, he went, my aunt, she lives like 10 minutes away, mm-hmm. and she went to Pennsylvania to see her daughters. And so one day I told my husband, I'm like, I'm going to be working late. Can you go feed the dogs? Because they have dogs. So he went in the bike, because it's 10 minutes away. Goes on the bike. He was wearing his work pants because he just threw whatever on. And the police stopped him. Well, it's the sheriff's department here in Compton. And they're like, when did you get out of jail? And then Frank's like, I've never been in jail, so let me see your ID. So he pulls out his ID, and if anybody knows me out there, my husband came from a different country. So because he looks like he looks like an immigrant.
He looks, we all look like
immigrants. But he doesn't even really speak that much English.
Well, that's true.
And so when he pulled out his ID, because he's legal here, of course. So when he pulls out his ID, the cop goes, this is real. And Frank's like, yeah, it's real. And they're like, well, what do you work in? And they're like, fiber optics. Really? Like, they wouldn't believe him because, you know, they just, the thing is, like, you know, illegals that are from, like, Central America or Mexico, they just automatically think they, you know, wash dishes and mow your lawn.
Like, if I get pulled over, it's like, that's a pretty good American, like, English accent, my friend. Like, where did you learn how to speak English? Like,
I was born
in
here.
America.
In America, because I was born here.
I got that on the flight from, I went to North Carolina, and on the flight back, this lady's like, well, you really speak English very well. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm American.
how embarrassing.
I'm telling you, dude, over here, it's just bad, man. It's so racist. There's so much racism still here. I mean, even in this day, it's just,
yeah, it really is.
And it sucks. Like, people come to me like they assume I work, like if I'm somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, can you help me? I'm like, oh, ma'am, I don't work here. Like, what made you think I work here?
Like, is it my unkempt hair?
Or something. Like, no, I think I went to a Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Ben, do you guys have Best Buy over there?
No, we have. I know what it is, though. Yeah, no, we don't.
Well, you know, they have a look. Like, they have to wear khakis and a blue shirt.
Right.
So I'm wearing jeans and a shirt, and she comes to me like, "Sir, can you help me with this?" And I'm like, "I don't work here." And I'm thinking to myself, "What made you think I do? Do I even wear the?"
They're wearing the polo.
They wear the polo shirts, and I'm like, just because I'm Mexican. They assume that I fucking know how to, that I help anything or do anything. It's a fucking shame, dude.
It is.
Fucking.
But here we are. The comic books, another life lesson learned.
This episode was a lot of life lessons and a lot of just society based ideals.
Yeah, or just, you know, judging a book by its cover.
Pretty much.
Even from the Superman, the Superman that you... For all seasons that you reviewed. I mean, just because you're not like the art, you can still love the story.
Exactly. And the story speaks more louder than the art.
Right. And I mean, and that's just a view of life. You know, you can't just judge something by what it looks like. You have to kind of take the time to go deeper and look at up at the sky and see that tree that you didn't know was there, like in that story, that that comic book that Ben reviewed.
Yeah, we're so disconnected from life, dude. Look, man, another thing real quick, it's just when I take the bus, a lot of people don't talk to anybody.
No.
Like, I didn't. Walking down the street, people will see you, they don't greet you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had a trip to Mexico, you walk down the street
and everybody greets
you. Buenos dias. Good morning, good day, or... It's like, whoa, I don't know
what
you.
What the hell?
Exactly. Get away from me.
Like,
and it's funny because we react to like, whoa, hey.
I would turn to my aunt and say, is he family? Were we related to them or what?
It's like,
why are they saying hi to us?
and it sucks because it's like, come on, man. We're as a people, as a race, I think we should just be like humble and live life. But it's hard too. I mean, it's not as easy. See, that's the thing with death.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that it touched on. I mean, Sexton is being so sarcastic about everything that's going on, yet she's like, this is so wonderful. You don't understand. You mean that guy was really nice. This girl was really nice. I mean, take the time to get to know these people. Don't just be stuck in your own head.
And see, this is the thing with the podcasting. See, you meet such good people, man. Like, we met Ben, and it's like...
We instantly clicked.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a friendship, you know, like a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you give people a shot. Like, probably if I saw Ben down the street, he probably wouldn't talk to me, or I probably wouldn't talk to him. Yeah. But for some reason, on the level, we all somehow, you know, click.
And that's one of the good things about that's one of the positive things about this new medium that is out there, the internet, is like you can reach out and touch someone so far away and get to know them inside before you ever get to see them, if you ever get to see them face to face.
Right, exactly. So moral of the story of this episode is don't judge a book by its cover and live life to the fullest.
Yeah, and give everybody a chance.
And don't live by society's rules.
Martial law.
That's exactly right, though. I mean, the other day, my son, he's really emotional. I don't know where he gets it from. But
not from you, obviously.
Such a bastard. But he goes to me, Daddy. I was like, yeah, what now? He goes, is it true that when you dare, you get reborn as something else? And I was like, who told you that? And he was like, I saw it on the internet, and everything on the internet is true. And I was like, listen, man, you only get one life, so make the most of it. And he started going, no, 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 no. And I was like, listen, mate, one day I'm not going to be around. And he just burst into tears.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, that's the...
And I was like, why are you crying? And I was like, don't be scared of death. And he was like, I don't want you to die. And I'm like, well, make the most of it, mate. Do you know what I mean? Stop pissing me off then.
Stop pissing me off all the time and just be good.
Oh, shit. And then I kicked him in the face. No, but it was like, I was just like, oh, don't be silly. Come on, just chill out. Just put a cartoon on or something. I can't be having this conversation with you. You're only 8 years old.
Yeah, you're
eight.
Come on.
It sucks, dude. When kids get to that point, man, where they see that. And yeah, I had to teach Jacob that for a bit. Mm. I think we both cried together for a bit. We had a conversation. I forgot what happened. Oh, yeah, I was drunk. See, this is the worst part, when my kid comes to me when I'm drunk.
Oh, shit.
And he was just like, I told him about mom and because my mom had passed away. Our mom had passed away about 11 years ago now.
And yeah, September.
I told him, like, she's always going to be watching you. It's like, but she's not here. I said, but that doesn't mean that she's not here watching you. I'm like, that's the power of love, is that it never really truly dies until you forget them. Mm-hmm. I said, so don't forget her. And I said, one day, I'm not going to be around. And it's like, but, and I burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And then he started crying. And this is so funny, because I cried first, and then he cried.
Oh.
And then I said, but you best damn well believe that if I die, I'm always going to love you. And I'm always going to be taking care of you, regardless if I'm dead or if I'm, you know, gone from this world, which will happen someday. But just know that I'm going to be here for you now and forever in your life until we meet again. And, oh, man, I just started bawling like fucking bitch. And he started crying. I said, don't cry. God damn it. It's fine. Don't worry. He's like,
be a man.
But it sucks, man. You know, kids give you that perspective of life. And even not only kids, but your family.
Exactly. And
you see it, and you gotta don't take shit for granted, man.
Definitely. You know, one of the things I've really been liking about the movies that they're making now of comic book characters and heroes and so forth, you know, with Iron Man and Superman and the Avengers and so forth, they are really hitting on the personal, internal aspect of the characters, which I find really refreshing.
Right.
So we can connect to them on a emotional level, like per se you were talking about your son, my nephew, Jacob. And in this new Superman movie, there were some emotional things that I actually burst into tears twice during the movie.
Yeah, Sarah, you can hear Sarah crying during the movie.
Oh, yeah, I cry. I'm a crier. But, I mean, it's just so powerful, like this connection with your family and your loved ones.
I think Sarah feels it worse than I do when Jake... I know Jacob's getting older.
Oh, God.
And there's certain things that, like, he doesn't do anymore because he's getting older. And in my head, I'm like, well, it was bound to happen. You know, it was a good run. And Sarah's the one feeling it the worst. Like,
oh, yeah.
You don't do this anymore. Like, you know, and Jacob's like, I'm old already.
I don't like it anymore.
This is coming from a 6-year-old, okay? He's not even like...
He's not even 12 or anything. He's like 6.
I'm already hating the idea of him being a teenager.
Yeah.
10.
I'm like, you used to like it when I massaged your legs.
I used to love when I used to hug you and, you know...
And in public, and you used to do the running jumping hug. Oh, he doesn't do that now.
It's And like you said, you just got to cherish that moment. That's Those true. Moments just come and go like the wind, man. So for our listeners, cherish the moments. Cherish Absolutely. The moments and read comics while you're at it.
You know, and comic books have like a lot of morals, help me out here.
They have morals and they have a lot of
life lessons and, in the storyline.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm trying to say. You mean like death?
Yeah.
You know, that was that's a good read. I mean, for anybody who feels like their life sucks.
Yes.
Or they're, you know, I mean, it just gives you that bigger perspective of life. Like,
Plus, it entertains you while you're reading
it. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, I can't speak any more highly about comic books.
It's good soul food.
Yes, definitely.
That's why you guys need to read Underwater Worlder.
Yeah, dude.
I am so good at that.
I guarantee that will make you cry.
Well, see, you just telling me, dude, I already saw Sarah kind of almost like get teary-eyed over it. And now I'm just like, dude, that's... And you just saying the cliff notes of the story. Yeah. Not even reading it. I'm pretty sure Sarah, if she read it, she'd probably
When John reviewed it, I was like, I instantly purchased it. I just haven't gotten it. Yeah, the Underwater Worlder, yeah. So, yeah, it's... Good stuff out there, guys. Take, you know, go to even your local bookstores carry comic books. So, you know,
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Hopefully one day we get sponsored by them.
Yeah, that would be awesome. No, they have a really great selection at really
and they're
good
cheap.
Prices.
Really cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon's good.
Amazon's good prices. Really good. Well, guys, we're coming to the end of our podcast, but I'd also like to tell our listeners, if you guys are in, we're doing a little trivia question quiz thing where if you answer our questions, you can win a free custom-made MCC t-shirt, which we will mail to you, the winner, of course, after you tell us what your size is.
If you haven't seen our Sarah's great custom t-shirts, man, check them out on our Facebook page, Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. They're fucking awesome. I still have mine. I wear mine on occasion when I'm feeling when I feel like reading a comic every now and then. Here,
throw on the t-shirt
and read. We gotta send one to Ben. I mean,
yeah, I just got their size
in his long lost package somewhere.
It'll get eventually.
Eventually, it'll get there somewhere. Fucking goddamn
post office. No, but I hand make them. Not the t-shirt, but like the design. Ivan designed it and I just stencil it onto the t-shirt, and hopefully you guys out there are eager to get one.
Don't give it away. How you do it, Jesus, just say you do it.
Just do it, man.
So did you want to do the questions?
Yeah, there's several questions only because Google is so readily available out there. We wanted to make it a little bit tougher.
Right. So we're going to ask an array of questions.
Yes.
And you got to get them all right to win, to get your free Mint Condition Comic Connoisseur t-shirt.
Yes.
And sir, you want to say do you have a question for you?
I do have a question. It's a little long. Who was the character that said this, and who was he talking about? This is the actual quote. But he did not understand the price. Mortals never do. They only see the prize, their heart's desire, their dream. But the price of getting what they want is getting what they once wanted. Who said that, and who was he talking about?
Nice. Mine is a fairly simple one. What is Wolverine's real name? Pretty quick. Ben, what's your question?
My question is, during the Alan Moore run of Swamp Thing, what character, apart from Swamp Thing, obviously he didn't create that, what character did he create during that run that went on to have his own comic in the DCU?
Nice. And John had a question. It says, what comic book character was unintentionally cloned in a manner similar to Starfish cloning? That's actually a real good question.
That was a really good question. I don't know either.
I might have to start Googling it myself.
I know. I'm going to ask John separately. Hey, what does that mean?
Exactly. What is that?
Ivan didn't get a chance to figure out a question. But if you answer those correctly, please not put them on.
Yeah, don't comment your answers on the Facebook page. Instead, message us the answers, and then we'll evaluate if they're correct. And if they are, we will announce you on the next episode that we do.
Yes.
And then we'll send you over a t-shirt. We'll see your size and
Your favorite color.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So
we can do that. So, guys, any shout-outs?
Yeah, I got a couple. Shout out to the Fanny Pack of Justice. I don't know when they'll ever be on again. Please let me know, because I'm curious to know myself.
Yeah, we miss the Fanny Pack of Justice.
Exactly. And shout out to the Hobo Dojo. I don't know if I just ruined that with my terrible English accent. But fucking great ass fucking podcast, man. On par, man. That shit's fucking...
Cheers, man.
It's on spot, dude. And Shenanigans, fucking awesome pair of fucking dudes. Oh, and well, yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah, to Shenanigans, man. The fucking funniest bunch of fucking characters, man, I know out there. Fucking fun. And to Taurus versus Zombies, fucking the best zombie podcast out there that I know.
Right on.
So that's mine.
Well, I'd like to shout out to Ivan's sister, who won Student of the Year. Awesome.
And awesome.
Awesome. Totally awesome. Great job. Also, to all the podcast family out there, thank you guys for supporting us and listening to us. I just recently started listening to this Girls on Girls podcast. It's fairly new, though. It's only two episodes, but I really liked it.
It's a pretty good title.
It's, yeah, no.
Girls on Girls.
Yeah, it's misleading, yeah, but it's very good. No. It's a real good podcast. That's it. Shout out to my husband. Thank you for putting up with us recording. Ben, any shout outs?
Yeah, Fanny Pat, you guys, obviously. I know we only do this once a month, or sometimes, you know, once every 3 weeks, but it's something I always look forward to, because you always learn something new, and you are beautiful people, I must say. And shout out to my friend who's sitting here right now, who called Martian Manhunter John the Martian.
John the Martian. John the Martian. Well, he's not that far off. It's, oh, yeah. John Jones. So.
Yeah, because one of my friends when I was a kid, he was dyslexic, and he called Magneto Magento.
It must be the color of the suit.
It was Magento, though, so I'll give him that. Magento. I'm going to start calling that the power of... Magenta with the power of magenta?
Magenting.
Magenting.
Hey, but even he who had dyslexia read comic books, so.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually not bad. That's really good. That's cool, though. Yeah, Magenta. Cool. I'm going to be laughing about that.
Nice.
He was explaining it to me. He was like, yeah, that Magento, he's a badass. And I was like, who the fuck are you talking about? There's no person in existence called Magento. You know, the dude in red that controls metal. Oh yeah, no, you're getting that wrong. You've been getting that wrong for a long time.
So I didn't have the heart to tell you, my friend, but that's Magneto. Aww. I've been letting
I told it straight. I was like, you've been a dumbass. That's Magneto, dude. That's not Magenta.
I would have played that out to like years later. My dude, I know I've been lying to you this whole time, saying that you're right, it is Magento, but it's actually Magneto.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, no one had the heart to tell you. Oh, he's all fucking passionate about it too.
Nice.
Magento is my favorite.
Of Magento.
Sweet.
That's awesome. That's cool. So that's it for the shout outs?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Actually, I just want to shout out Jello as well, because
he's hell yeah.
Jello. Jello.
Another co host from the Hobo Dojo.
Jello. Dude.
Dude, yeah.
Dude.
I call him Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Man, you are on point.
He's a scholar.
Yes.
He's a scholar, awesome. And a saint.
Really enjoyed that. You guys are doing a great job.
Hell yeah, man. Fucking awesome, man.
Really cool.
But like you said, sir, it's total bromance. Me and him are totally in love with each other.
There you go. So you can see it. You hear it through the episodes.
Yeah, like, you guys compliment each other so well. I really enjoy it. Really enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right, so that's...
That's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And check out our Facebook page. Message us anything that you guys want us to read, or we could review if you want us to review. If you anything from comic books to anime to manga to indie, movies. Anything, movies, anything that is related to comic books, art, animation, anything.
Yes.
We'll touch on all that, because we're on all bases here. We read everything.
Yes.
From everything from comic books to literature to manga.
Nice. Nicely said.
So that's it. So we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys next time.
You are
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Eric. And
I'm Ben.
All right, see you guys next time.
See you guys.
This is Bane, and no one cared who I was until I started listening to Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. Enjoy the podcast, brother.